On Daf, Daf Ayin Omer Aleph. Okay, so we got up to Ella Omer of Nachman, which you'll see approximately five lines down from the top. And let's just review what we're trying to figure out. The Braisa that was quoted on Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis differentiated between a case of Shigas Shabbos and a case of Shigas Melachos. In the case of Shigas Shabbos, you chayev one chatos for all the violations of that one single Shabbos. In the case of Shigas Melachos, he brings a separate chatos for each Melacha. So, Ella Omer Rav Nachman, how do we explain this distinction? Karban, dechayev rachman amai, what is the mechayev of a karban chatos? A shkoga. Right? Because of shkoga. Possum, chada shkoga. If he forgets that it's Shabbos, and as far as the malachas, he's aware of the malachas, then the shkoga, the forgetting which caused him to do this avera, is one single forgetting. It's chadash goga. He forgot it was Shabbos. But hacha, in a case where he knows it's Shabbos, tuva shkogos havyan. You have many, many different shkogos. There are many different things that he forgot. Each malach he forgets. So he brings a chatos for each shkoga. So again, if he forgets it's Shabbos, then he's got one single shkoga, and he brings one chatas for all the violations and all the malachas. If on the other hand, it is a case where he remembers it Shabbos, but he forgets the malachas, then each forgetfulness is a separate shkaga, and therefore he brings many chatos, multiple chatos for all the malachas that he violated. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that chayev al kol malacha u'malacha, that if he knows it Shabbos, but he shogeg on the malachos, then he brings a chatos for each malach. Chiluk malachos minola. How do we know from the Torah that there is a concept called chiluk malachos, that each malacha requires its own chatos? The havamina without this pasuk would have been that when he does different malachas, he's really just violating the Shabbos. He's repeating the same violation over and over again. So, for example, in other Isurim, if he eats dam, and again he eats dam, or he eats chelev, and again he eats chelev, he only brings one chatos. And we would have thought the same thing logically should apply to someone who does different malachas. He's really repeating the same Isur of kol malacha lo sasa. So we have to find a source in the Torah called chiluk malachos, lechatos, that we differentiate between one malach and another as far as chatos is concerned. Each malacha requires its own chatos. So we're going to focus now on Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. So please make a note of it that Shmuel is talking, because the whole daf for today is all going to be about this statement of Shmuel. Why does Shmuel need this drasha? Why doesn't he derive it from a different drasha? What is the drasha, the derivation of Shmuel? Amar Kra, the Torah says in Shmos, Mechaleleha Mos Yumos, is a double language here, Mos Yumos, which sounds like we can put him to death twice. Well, that's kind of difficult. HaTorah Ripsa Misos Harbe Al Chilul Echad. The Torah says that you're going to get many different capital punishments for the same desecration of Shabbos, which is obviously impossible. So what's this Mos Yumos? Hai B'mezid Ksiv. We're in real trouble here, because the Torah is addressing a case of someone who deliberately violated Shabbos. And that's a capital crime. So what does it mean, Mos Yumos, HaTorah Ripsa, Harbe Misos? How can it be Harbe Misos? And here we employ the principle called Im Eino Inyan, that if we cannot make any sense out of it and justify it in its context, we take it into a different context. Im Eino Inyan L'mezid, it cannot apply to the case of someone who deliberately violates the Shabbos. We can't put him to death twice. Dichsiv kala osa malacha yumas, with regard to someone who violates the Torah and violates the Shabbos, desecrates the Shabbos deliberately, the Torah says yumas, we put him to death. Tnei le'inyin l'shogeg. We have to use it for a case of shogeg. Umay yumas. So what's the double language here? Mos yumas. It means yumas b'mamon. That the word misa here is an allusion to mamon. Now what does it mean, mamon? Mamon sometimes means that he has to write a check. In this context, the word mamon means that he has to pay for a korban chatos. And a chatos is not, you know, it's not negligible. It's an expensive, a costly enterprise. And here the Torah is saying, misos harbe, which means he has to bring many korbanos chatos. And why does he bring many korbanos chatos? So Shmuel understands that that's because he violated many different melachos. So the first objection that the Gemara is going to raise to Shmuel is from Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson, one of the Tanoim, derives chiluk malachos from a different source. V'tepekle chiluk malachos mehecha denafkele l'Rabbi Nosson. Why can't Shmuel just simply rely on Rabbi Nosson, who came way before Shmuel? The Sanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, the Torah says, lo sevaru eish b'chomosh v'osechem yom ha-shabbos. Ma Talmud Lomer. Why did the Torah have to tell us that you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos? After all, the Torah taught us that you're not allowed to do any malach on Shabbos. And one of the various malachas is havara, meaning strefa, burning a fire. Why did the Torah feel compelled to specify with a special pasuk, lo sevaru eish? It should be included in the general prohibition of lo sasako malacha. So Rabbi Nosson says, Lefisha Nemar, since it says in Parshas Vayak, it says Vayakel Moshe's kol adas b'nei Yisrael, and then it says Ela hadvarim. These are the things that Hashem commanded them. Sheshes yomim te'ose milocha. So the question is, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say Ela hadvarim? It could have just said Vaydaber Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, Sheshes Yomim Tasa Malacha. Just teach me that we don't do Malacha for, I mean, we're allowed to do Malacha for 6 days, but not on the seventh day. So what's the emphasis here on Dvarim? And Rabbi Nosson puts the points out, calls our attention to the fact that Dvarim is in plural. And anything that's plural is Ein Rabim Pochus Mishnayim. So we're talking about the Malachas of Shabbos. We must be talking about two Malachas of Shabbos. Now, in addition, it says Ela Hadvarim. And we have now an extra letter, hey, Ela Hadvarim. So what we're going to do is, we're going to take the word Ela, and we're going to calculate its value. So we have the Aleph, the Lamed, and the Hey. All told is 36. And to that 36, we're going to add Dvarim, which is 2, and Hadvar, which is one extra letter, and therefore we're going to add 3. And 3 plus 36 is 39. Yochel ha-son kula behelim echad, eino chayv el ha-achas. I might think that since the Torah says that there are 39 malachas, and these were all given in the Parsha of Shabbos to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, I would think that if he violates all 39, then he should be chayv only one chatas. I mean, these are just simply different ways in which he violates one avera, which is called chil Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, the Torah goes out of its way and says, Becharish uvekatzir tishbos. And once again, the Torah singles out two different malachas, Harisha and Ktsira. And once again, why is the Torah singling out two different malachos? Obviously, the Torah is telling you that you're chayav for these two malachos. Vadainani Omer, maybe the Torah is saying, Ala Harisha v'al Ktsira chayav shtayim. Maybe if he plows his land and he harvests his land, beheli machas, with one forgetfulness, he brings two chatos, because these two malachos are unique. But al kula meino chayv alachas. For the balance of the 37 malachos, he's going to be chayv only one chatos. Talmud lo lo savaru eish. The Torah goes out of its way to specify the prohibition of burning a fire on Shabbos. Havara bichlal hoisa. Havara was included in kol malacha lo tase v'lo miyotzos. So why did the Torah single out fire? Lahakishe lea, to compare all the malachos to havara. V'lo malacha teach us ma havara shi av malacha chayovin ale b'fnei atzma af kol shehu av malacha chayovin ale b'fnei atzma. That just like you would be chayav achatos if you inadvertently lit a fire on Shabbos, and that becomes a malacha unto itself with its own chayav chatos, so to each av malacha unto its own has that status as an independent machayav of achatos. And now we come back to our original question, why didn't Shmuel derive chiluk chatos in the case of malachos, chiluke malachos, from this pasuk, lo savaru eish b'chol moshvaseichem? If it was okay for Rabbi Nosson, why couldn't it be okay for Shmuel? He needs mechaleh mos yumos. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel, savar lo ki Rabbi Yossi. We have a machlokes between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yossi. And Shmuel accepts the view of Rabbi Yossi. The Omar, what is Rabbi Yossi's view? Havara lelav yotzos. We'll explain that in just a minute. Tisanya, we learned in a brisa. Havara lelav yotzos. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Nosson Omer lechalek yotzos. Why did the Torah take havara, burning, out of the bag of all malachos and single it out as a separate lav? So two ways of going here. One way is the Torah wants to reduce the severity of this particular malacha. Whereas all malachos generate a chiyuv misa or kares, this one only generates a chiyuv malchus. It's a lav. It's not a chiyuv misa. And that's why the Torah took it out of the bag and said, lo sevaru eish. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And that's called a lav yotzos. Yotzos means it came out, it was singled out as a lav. And this is not the only case on Shabbos that we have a lav. There actually is a group of violations of Shabbos that don't come under malacha with a chiyuv misa, but rather generate a chiyuv lav. For example, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that tchumen, right, if you go more than 2,000 ava beyond the city limits, that's a violation of a lav. It's not a malacha. It would not generate kares or misa. It would be a violation of a lav. Then it's something called Mechamer Achar Behemto. For example, he puts a burden on the back of the animal and he leads the animal. That too is a lav in the Torah. And it's not a malach on Shabbos, but rather a lav in Shabbos. Now we have a third example, according to Rabbi Yossi, and that's Havara. Burning a fire is not considered a malacha. It's a separate lav. It's an Isur Shabbos. And there could be a tremendous nafkamina with regard to Yontif. Because in the case of Yontif, the Torah only prohibits malacha. Those Isurim that are derived from Sukkim that refer to Shabbos do not apply to Yontif. So for example, on Yontif there would be no Isur Tchum or Mechamer or Havara, according to Rav Yossi. So that's called the Lav Yotzes. Now, if it's the Lav Yotzes, then it has nothing to do with a Chiv Chatas, because there is no Chiv Chatas for Havara. So Havara, according to Rav Yossi, could not teach me anything about Chatas. Whereas Rabbi Nasan is of the opinion L'chalik Yotzes. Havara is a Malacha like all the other 38 Malachas, and it generates a Chiyuv Misa. However, the Torah wanted to teach me that just like Havara, it generates its own Chiyuv Chatos, so too every Malacha unto itself generates its own Chiyuv Chatos. And Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore he did not have the luxury of using the Pasuk Lo Sevaru Eish to derive the principle of Chiluk Malachos. So Gemara says, wait a minute. If Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore the Pasuk Lo Sevaru Eish, for Rabbi Yossi's perspective, is not going to be a source for Chiluk Malachos, then let's ask Rabbi Yossi, in his generation, how did he derive Chiluk Malachos? And in fact, we have a Bryce that answers that question. V'tepukle, why didn't Shmuel derive L'chiluk Malachos? Mi'hecha d'nafkale l'Rab Yossi. Why couldn't Shmuel accept the drasha of Rab Yossi and derive the principle of Chiluk Malachos? Tisanya, and now we're going to learn Rab Yossi's derivation. Now this is a bit complicated, and it has to do with a number of psukim and a number of extra letters in these psukim. And the Torah says, V'osa me'achas me'hena. In the parsha of Chatos, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, it says, Nefesh ki sechta b'shkago mikol mitzvah Hashem asher lo te'asena, v'osa me'achas mehena. There's a lot of extra words here, letters here. And he will do one of them. And Rabbi Yossi is going to derive in this brisa from this pasuk, pa'amim shechayovim achas al kulam, and pi'amim shechayovim al kol achas v'achas. So sometimes it's going to be achas, because the Torah says v'yosa achas, and sometimes it's going to be hena. The word hena is in the plural, them. Not only that, not only do we have achas and hena, we have me'achas and me'hena. The mem of me'achas is extra, and the mem of me'hena is extra. So we're going to have to figure out what this all means. Now keep in mind that the Torah could have said V'asa achas, and then he brings a chatos. The word hena, even without the mem, is unnecessary. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rav Chanina, my time with Rabbi Yossi, let's not confuse the two Rabbi Yossis. One is an Amora, and the other is a Tana. This Rabbi Yossi is trying to explain the drasha of Rabbi Yossi the Tana, and he says the following: Achas. The Torah could have said Achas, Me Achas, the extra Mem from one, and then it could have said Hena, and then we'll soon see that Hena itself is superfluous. But what's Me Hena of them? And the extra mem. So we've got the extra mem of me'achas. Now we have the extra mem of me'hena. Not only that, achas shehi hena, which means that the Torah is saying that it says achas, which means one, and then it says me'hena, which is plural. Hena is plural. It's them. One, them. And in each case, it says mem. So here we're going to say the following. that there is a case where a person violates, again, b'shogeg achas, but it's considered heina. Heina shehi achas. So we have achas shi heina, heina shi achas. Right now, it sounds like gibberish. What is it? It's either achas or heina. What's it mean? Achas shi heina, heina shi achas. So Rabbi Yossi is going to derive two different halachos. The first halacha is me'achas, which means that if we only had the word achas without the extra mem, we would have assumed that if a person has in mind to do a malacha from A to Z, he's got to do the entire malacha. The example will be Shem Mishimon. Let's say he wants to write the name Shimon. And prematurely, he stops. And all he did was write the Shem, meaning the Shin and the Mem. So the Torah tells me, Me'achas, that it's part of one. It's not a full one. The full one would have been the entire Shimon, which he had intended. But if he achieves part of Shimon, that's called me'achas, from one or a part of one, then that itself is considered ovid le'machshavto. He wanted to write the shin and the mem, even though he wanted to write the vav and the nun afterwards, but nevertheless, the ayin vav, but nevertheless, he wrote Shimon. And he's going to be, he wrote shem mi Shimon. He wrote the shin and the mem, and he's going to be chayav for the shin and the mem. And that's called Shem Mishimon. If you take a look on Daf, Ayin Omid Beis, this is the example of someone who wanted to write five letters, but instead he only wrote two letters. The minimum shear from Aleches Ksiva is two letters. He has written two letters that he wanted to write, although he wanted to write another three letters to make up a whole word. The Pasuk Me'achas is teaching me that Me'achas, part of the word, is enough to generate a chiyuv chatos. Now we go on. We have heina and meheina. So the word heina is unnecessary, and then the mem of meheina is also unnecessary. So what is this teaching me? Heina avos, meheina toldos. That from the extra mem, we're going to derive an extension of heina, if heina is the avos, the extension of avos are the toldos. Okay, now we have the achas and the heina. So we've already derived from the two mems, one mem is part of a longer name, that's called Shemi Shimon, and the other mem is teaching me toldos. Now let's get back to the words themselves, achas and heina. And here, says Rabbi Yossi, we're going to derive achas shehi heina. And what does that mean, achas shehi heina? There's going to be a case where it's called achas. There's going to be a case where it's called heina. Zadon Shabbos v'shigas melachos. If you want to talk about achas, that's going to be the case where he knew it was Shabbos. Just one second. I'm sorry. We're talking about now achas meheina, correct? Which means achas shehi heina. We'll leave out the mems because we've already derived whatever we need to derive from the mems. Now we're focused on the words themselves, achas and heina. So the answer is, in Shkaga, he had Heina. In Mazid, he had Achas. What does that mean? He was a Mazid for Achas, and he was a Shogeg for Heina. Heina in the plural. The answer is, he was a Zadon for Shabbos. He knew that today was Shabbos. But Shigas Malachos, he was unaware of the Malachos. Okay, fine. Now let's turn it around the other way. Because that could justify the word Hena. But now, we want to get a case where it's only Achas, and that's Hena Shi Achas. He violates many performances, but he's only Chayav Achas. And that's going to be the case of Shiga Shabbos Uzdon Melochos. He forgot it was Shabbos, he knows about all the Melochos, and he's only Chayav Achas. So when do we apply the rule of Hena? And even though there was one mezid, it was achas, but we're going to treat it as hena. That's the case we have shigagos melachos, and he's going to have to bring a separate chatas for each melacha. And when is it considered hena shi achas? That's a case where he forgot Shabbos, and he remembers all the melachos. So in that case, although it's hena, which means he knew about each one of the malachos, and that's in the plural, but the Torah says considered as achas. Why? Because it was one shogeg, and he forgot it was Shabbos. So now it's stuck with the original question. Why did Shmuel need the pasuk most yumas? Why couldn't he derive it from this derivation of Rabbi Yossi? And he himself agrees with Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Nassan. That's why he couldn't learn it from Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshvel Seichem. And the Gemara says, Shmuel, achas shehena, hena mishachas, lo mashmale. He's not impressed by this drasha. He doesn't think that the drasha seems to indicate that he could be chayav for one shkoga, many chatos, or for many violations, one chatos. He learns the pasuk kipshuto. And the pasuk is telling me that there's something called Mehena. Mehena means it's part of the violation. It's not a complete violation, and that's called a tolda. So he needs the mem to establish the toldos, and therefore he cannot use the mem of Hena to derive conclusions about chiluk melachos. What happens to a person who forgot both Shabbos and the Melachos? For example, if you ask him what day of the week it is, he'll tell you it's Friday. If you ask him, is this a Melacha on Shabbos, he'll tell you no. So where do we place him? Do we place him under Shigigas Shabbos, and therefore he gets away with one Chatos? Or should we subsume him under Shigigas Melachos, and he has to bring multiple Chatos? So this question was raised to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responds, "Harei helim Shabbos biyado, and therefore eino chayav ela achas." In other words, why is he doing these malachas? All these malachas are prohibited because it's Shabbos. He doesn't know it's Shabbos. So essentially, anything that he did on this day was because of the fact that he was a shogeg for Shabbos. So Rava says to him, Adarama, Harei Helim Melachos Biyodo. He doesn't know about the Melachos. And even if you were to tell him that it was Shabbos, buddy, pat him on the back, it's Shabbos today, he would still go ahead and do those different actions because he doesn't realize that these are Melachos. And therefore, Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. So basically, what we have here in this deliberation back and forth between Rava and Rav Nachman is the question as to whether or not Shabbos trumps the Melachos. I mean, ultimately, the Melachos are only Osir because it's Shabbos. Or should we say no? Even if you would have notified him it's Shabbos, he's still a shogeg as far as the Melachos. So does he get away with one Chatos for Shabbos, or does he have to bring multiple Chatos? So El Rav Ashi, you want to know what is the essential shogeg here? Let's pinpoint what exactly is he unaware of. Chazinon. Chazinon means take out a thermometer and measure his temperature. What do I mean? You need a barometer. Let's do a test case. Imishum Shabbos Kaporish. If we tell him it's Shabbos and he desists, Harei Helim Shabbos Biyodo. That clearly proves that he had forgotten about the Shabbos. V'eino Chayav Al Achas. But if we tell him that it's Shabbos, and that doesn't do it, Mishum Malachas Kaparish, he's going to desist because you tell him it's a Malacha. So therefore, Hele Malachas Biyadah. You see that the cause of his violation is the fact that he forgot the Malachas. Is therefore Chayv Al Kolachas V'Yachas. In other words, Rav Ashi says, let's just do a litmus test here. Let's find out what's going to happen if we tell him X or we tell him Y. Is he going to desist? This is based on a pasuk, by the way, Veshav Mi Yediyaso, that when is a person Chayv Achatos, when you give me Yediya, and because of that Yediya, he terminates his involvement. And which idea will terminate his involvement? Buddy, today is Shabbos, or buddy, this is a malach on Shabbos. Omale Ravina la Rav Ashi, that you call a litmus test? That's ridiculous. Klum parish mi Shabbos, el mishum malachos. When we notify him and it's Shabbos, is he going to be shav mi yediyaso? Is he going to desist? Is he going to terminate his activities? It's only going to be because the malachos are prohibited. And if we tell him that the malachas are prohibited, why is he going to be terminate? Why is he going to desist? Klum parish malachas el mishum Shabbos. In other words, in both cases, whenever you have to notify him, it ultimately comes down to the same A plus B equals C. A meaning it's Shabbos, B these are malachas on Shabbos, and C therefore you're not allowed to violate these malachas. You can't tell me that there's such a thing as, well, you know, it's Shabbos, and therefore he's now going to desist. Oh, these malachas are awesome. It's got to be a combination of both malacha and Shabbos. Shabbos plus malacha. So your litmus test, Ravina, says Rav Ashi, is not valid. So the Gemara says the following. Tnan, our Mishnah says, Ovos Malachas Abraham Chasar Achas, 39 Malachas of Avina Bey, and we ask Minyan and Lomali, why did the Mishnah have to specify the number? Viam Rabbi Yochanan, Shema son Kulam Elimachas, is Chayv Al Kolachas Viachas, then he could be Chayv 39 Malachas for 39 violations, E Amrit Bishlema Helim Zev Zebiyodo, Chayv Al Kolachas Viachas, is Shapir, if you're going to maintain the position of perhaps Rava, but certainly against Rav Nachman, that if a person forgets both Shabbos and the Malachos, he has to bring 39 Malachos, 39 Chatos, Shabbos, then everything works out well. If you're going to tell me that since he forgot both Shabbos and the Malachos, he brings only one Chatos, is Hechi Mishkachasla, how are you going to come up with a case where he's Chayev 39 Malachos? 39 chatos, because ultimately he forgot it was Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, well, you're going to have to tell me it's a case of Zodon Shabbos v'shigas malachos. Why is he chayv 39 chatos? Because he knows that today is Shabbos, but he forgot the 39 malachos. Well, wait a second. Haniach. Yesterday we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What constitutes a shogeg? And according to Rabbi Yochanan's unique shita, if he doesn't realize that Yechayv Kares, that makes him into a shogeg. And even though he knows very well that you're not allowed to violate the Shabbos, but he thinks it's only a lav. He's not aware of the chiyuv Kares. He's called a shogeg. Is then Mishkachas Le? Now I understand that Mishnah. The case is going to be the other lay, Shabbos Balav. He knew very well that Shabbos is today. And there's a prohibition of Shabbos. But he mistakenly thinks that all the prohibitions of Shabbos amount to a violation of a regular run-of-the-mill classic Lav. And that makes him into a shogeg. And now you're going to tell me he's Chayv 39 Chatos because he's a Zodon Shabbos. He cannot be Chayv 1 Chatos for Shabbos because he knows it's Shabbos. He can only be Chayv for the Malachos because his Shogeg is that he thinks the Malach will only generate a Lav, but not Kares. But Elisa, Rav Shim ben Lakish, but if we're going to identify the Sheet of Shmuel with that of Rav Shim ben Lakish, who says the Omar. I'm sorry, not. I said Shmuel, I meant to say Rav Nachman, as holding like Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, in order to be a shogeg, you have to be convinced that this is mutter. The Amarat Sheishkog Belav Ubekaris, he has to be unaware of both Karis and the Lav itself. Is the other Leib Shabbos B'mai? How can you come up with a case where he's mazin on Shabbos, and yet he's unaware of the Malachas? And how many Malachas is he unaware of? All 39. So what is Shabbos? To Yodalei B'tchumen, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. What he knows about Shabbos, if you ask him what is Shabbos, the answer is Shabbos is the day in which we're enjoined from going Chutz L'tchum. Which yesterday I pointed out to you is a very psychologically a very difficult thing. But he thinks that the Shabbos is the day in which we can't, you know, we're quarantined. That's what Shabbos is all about. So we have now a possibility of explaining the Mishnah that we're talking about Zdon Shabbos. He very well knows that Shabbos is a day of rest. Rest from what? From Tchumin. He's unaware of the 39 Malachos, and the Mishnah tells me, therefore he brings 39 Chatos. So this works out very well. And we have a mechanism for Zdon Shabbos and Shigas Malachos. Amar Rava, slightly new sugya, but it's a hemshech of the previous sugya. Kotzar v'tochan kigrogeres b'shigigas Shabbos uzdon malachos. So he violates two malachos, ktsira and tchina, right, harvesting and grinding. And he did kashir, which is a grogeres, a dried fig. And he was unaware of the fact that it's Shabbos. He knows the Malachos. So at this point, he should be chayv one chatos, because it's a Shigas Shabbos. And now he does it again. V'chazar, v'kotzar, v'tochan, kigrogeres. But the second time, it was bizdon Shabbos, v'shigas Malachos. They notified him that it's Shabbos, but he didn't realize that these malachas were prohibited. So if you would have asked me at this point, I would have said he should be chayev three chatos. One chatos for Shigas Shabbos, and another two for Shigas Malachos. Ne. No delah k'tzir v'al t'china shel Shigas Shabbos uzdon malachos. He finds out about the first shkaga, which means that he forgot that it was Shabbos. And then Chazar v'nodalo, and then they told him, hey buddy, Ktsira and Tchina are prohibited on Shabbos. Says Rava, and this is now a Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, we have a principle called Grera. Now this is a fascinating principle. And for those of you, Mr. Shem, will be learning this daf sometime between now and Yom Rishon, this is a very important introduction. The whole sugi here revolves around the principle called Grera. I would explain it the following way. Once the Chiv Chatos is generated by a certain violation, then that chatos could now expand and be applied to anything that's similar to it, whether it be the same violation or another violation that was done together with this violation. In other words, when you bring a chatos, that chatos can touch many different bases. I don't know if you have, I'm trying to think in sports, if I could give you an example, or maybe in physics or engineering, where once you activate something, like you touch a base, then that base now takes on, you know, that identity. It has that active power vis-a-vis what you touched on it. So let's just see if, again, all that is up in the air, but let's just see how we apply it. And we'll try to finish up in the next few minutes. Ktsira goreres ktsira, utchina goreres tchina. What's going to happen is, when he finds out about the first Shgaga, which was Ktsira and Tchina, that karbon that he becomes obligated to bring is going to touch two bases. It's going to encompass two different malachas, two different violations, both Ktsira and Tchina. And the reason for that is because he was shogeg b'Shabbos. He didn't realize it was Shabbos, and he violated the Shabbos with two different malachos. So the chiyuv chatos for that Shabbos now touches base, or is generated by both Ktsira and Tchina. Now he finds out about the second violation, where he was mezid b'Shabbos and shogeg b'malachos. And now he should be bringing chatos for both Ktsira and Tchina. But the answer is no. Once he was obligating the first Chatos, is Ktsira Goreris Ktsira. That Chatos now, for the first Ktsira, is Gorer a second Ktsira. So the Kapara power of this Chatos will now expand and incorporate the second Ktsira. And since the first Chatos is also being brought for Tchina, so now the second Tchina is not going to generate an independent carbon, but rather the carbon chatos compromises both Ktsira and Tchina. But all this works out, says Rava, in a case where first he finds out about Shiga Shabbos. So once he finds out about Shiga Shabbos, he's chayv one carbon chatos for both Ktsira and Tchina. Once the chatos is for both Tchina and Ktsira, he can cover both Ktsiros with one chatos and both Tchinos with one chatos. He brings all told one chatos. But what happens in the reverse? No dolo, first he finds out about the second Shkaga, which was the Ktsira Shel Zadon. In other words, he knew it was Shabbos, but Shigas Malachos. Now at that point, he's going to have to bring a chatos for Ktsira, and when he finds out the Tchina, he's going to be chayav a separate chatos for Tchina. He doesn't know about his Shigas Shabbos at this point. So the first idea that he has, which generates a chiyuv chatos, is the second one, which is Shigas Malachos, with Zadon Shabbos. Says Rava, in such a case, Ktsira Goreres Ktsira, Tchina Utchina she'ima, utchina she'kenegdo b'mkoma omedes. Here Rava says, we can apply the principle of Greira with regard to Ktsira. So the second Ktsira, meaning the Shigas Malachos that he finds out about, generates a Chiyuv Chatos for Ktsira. That Chiyuv Chatos for Ktsira can now be Gorer the first Ktsira, but once we go to the first Ktsira, then we have a Chatas that's being brought for Shiga Shabbos. Once you bring a Chatas for Shiga Shabbos, that's going to be Gora the Tchina. However, Tchina Shekenegdo Bimkomo Medes. What happens when he finds out now about Tchina? Meaning which Tchina? The second Tchina. The second Tchina was the Tchina of Shigas Malachos. So although you can apply the principle of Greira to go from Ktsira, when he finds out the Ktsira, back to the original first Ktsira, and once we're in the original first Ktsira, that's gonna also incorporate all the violations of that Shigas Shabbos, including that of Tchina. But now that he finds out about his Shigas Malach of Tchina, that generates its own Chiyuv Chatas. So Rav is of the opinion that in this case, where the sequence of his Yediyah was the reverse, and he found out about the second Shkoga before the first, in such a case he has to bring two Chatos. He brings one Chatas for the second Ktsira and the first Ktsira and the first Tchina, and now he's going to have to bring a second Chatos for the second Tchina. That's the Shita of Rava, and Abai is going to disagree. Rabbi is going to say that even in this case, he only brings one Chatos. So Mirtz Hashem, on Yom Rishon, we'll pick up Daf Ayin Aleph. No. My mistake. Ayin Aleph will have to each do on her own. On Shabbos, we'll pick up Ayin Beis. Rashi Tevis Azariah Berzon. That's what we're going to pick up in Mirz Hashem on Yom Rishon.